Yeah, I was just explaining to Mike the trials and tribulations of moving into a house that hasn't been lived in a while.
I can imagine there are many, Steve. There are many and varied.
Ah, yes. And number one is let's get some power in the place, some services. So anyway, just I discovered that the previous person that was living there had left the electricity connected and hadn't paid their bill. So I rang the company and I said, yeah, this house belongs to me now. So you need to go after your man, you know, whatever you do, you know, get the boys around or whatever.
The boys.
And sell that debt, you know. Yeah. And yeah, just hook me up with a new one. They went, okay, that's sound. Wow. So we've got power.
So they have really no idea that you aren't actually the old guy.
No, they don't actually. No, they took all the details over the phone. They went, and what's your name then? You know, to put it down. Yeah. Pablo?
John Smith. Yes,
yeah. Pablo what? Pablo Geraghty?
Oh, Chapo.
I was like, oh, what's your email address? And I was just like, let me just see if this one's free. pgeraghty@gmail. yeah, pgeraghty@gmail.com. Yeah.
You know what we should do sometime for the podcast is we should ring somewhere and try and get something, but make all of our answers sound like questions. So, like you say, oh, I want to, you know, do something. I want to book like a test for my car.
Yeah.
Right.
And they go, what kind of car is it? And go, Vauxhall?
A red one?
Which is how I do it anyway, to be fair. Did you ever see that radio show thing that they did it on? Oh, I can't remember, but you probably remember when I started talking about it, where you had to talk to somebody in the service industry and use each letter of the alphabet in it.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah. Very hard to pull off.
Very hard to pull off because you have to keep the person interested for 26 questions.
Yeah. Yeah, I have actually. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. I think Justin Timberlake and Renee Zellweger, was it? Oh. No, not her, Legally Blonde girl.
Reese
Witherspoon.
Reese Witherspoon did it, and I think Reese got all the way to the end.
That's the one.
That's impressive. Yeah.
It is impressive. Guys, it's been so long. It feels like it's been so long since we've been back here.
An eternity.
Is it a bicycle studio?
Yeah. I mean, the movies that we watched for the last episode are so last year.
Yeah.
They're out in DVD now. Yeah.
Some of them are up for Lifetime Achievement Awards at the Oscars.
Well, there's a couple of them hanging on, you know. There's a couple of them hanging on in there as I quickly pull up Box Office Mojo to validate my theory. Yeah. So the last movie I watched for this very show was A Star Is Born. And that's still number 3 in the US box office.
Oh. All right.
And I did kind of keep up to date. I watched Hunter Killer there last week.
Did you? Okay, Mike, you have to give us a review of that because I looked at that and thought, I like Jared Butler in action movies, but that looks like shit.
Stay tuned.
I saw Homecoming.
Homecoming.
Julia Roberts. Which one was that? New one. She's sort of like a counselor to dudes coming back from wars.
Oh God, that sounds appalling.
It does initially. Yeah. And I was
you had
like,
me at Julia Roberts.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, I'm not watching this. And then I saw it was like 30 minutes and or 36 minutes. I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm going to be watching more. Yeah. It surprised me. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's quite good. There's a bit of a twisty thing, I presume, and a bit of trouble because they do it in such a way that they show you some stuff that happened, and then they flick forward to, didn't you work in such and such a place 5 years ago? And blah, blah, blah. She's like, maybe. It's like, did you know such and such a guy? She goes, no, never heard of him. Right. And of course, that's the guy that she was concentrating on at the start, you know. So, anyway, so I don't know what's going on yet, but that looks really interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
Intriguing.
Mm.
So, on a little Survivor update for you.
Oh, go on.
We are 5 episodes deep into season 37 of Survivor, which, as I reminded people last season, has been running since 2000.
Okay.
It's still staggering when you think of it, but one of my favourite hosts on TV, Jeff Probst, is still there doing what he does. And they went with a theme of David and Goliath this season.
Okay.
So they have one team full of people who are hugely successful, kind of primed for success, your typical prom queens and prom kings, to use the American terminology. And the Davids then are the opposite. They're the geeks. They're the kind of the fringe characters. You're goths and you're people that weren't generally cool. And a slight mistake they seem to have made with the David tribe is they put a rocket scientist in there, a bona fide rocket scientist. And he's seems to be on the autism scale, seems to be. I'm no expert, but he's very Sheldon-like. And a really nice fella off the back of it. And he's just, he is amazing. He was doing a slide puzzle. You know, you have to slide all the pieces around, you have one gap, and you have to make a picture. He wrote an algorithm to solve those. So, you know, he just applies the algorithm in real time. But it is a good show. And then there's the mayor of Slamtown is on there. He's an indie wrestler, also known as Abraham Lincoln because of his abs. And his actual name is John.
Yeah.
Right. he's a great character as well. Like, he's in ridiculous shape compared to the rest of them. And he's obviously a Goliath. Like, but the tribe is merging now. So we're heading for the merge next episode. But it's been really good so far. I'll keep you posted. Don't worry, you can count on me to give you a weekly update on what's happening.
It's funny that stereotype, that, you know, of the rocket scientist that you mentioned there, because the only rocket scientist I ever knew, we used to call him Meathead.
Really?
Yeah. And there have been occasions that when we used to meet him that, you know, he'd be... actually, it was a friend of mine came along with a bunch of buddies, and he was one of them, and I came along with a bunch of buddies, happened to meet up in a pub, and I went over and I was chatting to your man, and I came back over and I said back to the guys, and they're like, fucking hell, you know that guy? It was just him. Like, he's a rough looking,
you know, spider's web tattoo over his
dude.
Face.
Oh yeah. But it's just like, what are you, fucking rocketoid? Well, actually. Yeah, he works for NASA, actually.
All right,
yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So
janitor, is he?
Yeah. Valet.
Actually, just on the reality TV theme, a little update as well. I've been following latest season of Celebs Go Dating. One of my little...
very good.
One of my little foibles. So it's into season 5 now. And it's, you know, much the same as the previous seasons. If you watch it, you know what it's all about. But the interesting part this season is actually off-screen. Because for the first 4 seasons, I think, there was 2 kind of love masters, a guy and a girl, who would set up all the dates for the Z-list celebrities to go out and fuck up. And
that's what we should call you, Mike.
Yeah.
I don't have a bachelor's, I have a master's. In love.
So these two, they had a lot of chemistry, they were entertaining, and drove the show forward in popularity over the years. And then this season, the guy didn't come back. He was replaced by Oprah Winfrey's relationship advisor. American fella.
Is she married?
He is married, yeah.
No, Oprah.
Oprah?
No, the relationship advisor on the show.
How many relationships does she have?
He's managing all her relationships, yeah. So he's fine. He does the job well. But it was a bit intriguing that there was just no mention of the last guy. There was no little, like... montage of his best moments or anything like that, right. Fond memories. And that was fine. I kind of put that to one side and I continued watching the show. And then about 10 episodes in, the girl disappeared as well. And I was like, what the fuck?
Suspicious.
And again, no mention. It's just 1 week she's there, next week she's gone. And none of the celebrities or Oprah's guy or anything happened to mention the elephant in the room. There she was, gone. So I did a bit of Google detective work and found out that...
Can't wait for this.
The guy from last season
broke
the rules by getting involved in a relationship with one of the clients.
Oh, dear.
Ooh. Who wasn't a celeb.
Well, he I believe, was married to start with.
Right.
Oh. So he left his missus to go out with one of the people. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, which isn't cool. And then the girl.
How he ever got the green light to work on that show in the first place, I don't know. Seriously. You know.
It gets better.
What do you do all day, honey? Well. A load of singles and lead. Sorry, Mike.
So the female host, who recently disappeared, apparently was fired for inappropriate behavior on social media.
Oh.
So apparently she had set up a couple of fake Twitter and Facebook accounts with which to troll her former colleague.
No
online.
Way. No way.
And she was busted and the TV show said, no, you're out.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That is hilarious.
So yeah, just freaking shit show behind the screen. Wow. Scenes on this.
That's brilliant. Jeez, they cast that really well.
Yeah.
completely unbeknownst to themselves.
Yeah.
Tell me, the format. This is, do celebs go dating celebs?
No. They go dating plebs.
Because I was like, Jesus, that's a severely limited scope you've got.
No.
So it's not only just celebs, they're single celebs. Yeah, so how many are we talking about? That's like...
There's normally, in each season, there's maybe 8 or 9.
Are they actually celebs? Or?
Oh, no, Z-list.
Oh.
You know, there's people from like The Only Way is Essex and...
Oh, so they like captain the, I don't know, Camogie team for Leitrim.
They've had two guys from that band Diversity that were quite famous a few years ago.
Diversity.
They do dancing. They won like the X Factor or some shit like that.
Oh yeah. Were they diverse?
They're diverse enough. Yeah.
Then we're just taking the mic with the name.
Yeah. And they you have people like who've been there's one girl this season who was on Gogglebox. She's one of the reviewers of Gogglebox.
So no way.
That's the level of fame you're dealing with, you know.
Yeah,
but good show, very entertaining. You just never know what the general public's going to hurl at you on any given Sunday.
I forgot to mention about Survivor that something that has never happened before happened in this season. They had to be evacuated from where they were.
No way,
because a storm came in.
Wow!
Oh, and
it must have been bad.
They had been there. It was really bad, but they'd been there not that long. I'm going to say maybe 5 nights. If I'm wrong, it's like 7. It's, you know,
they were so wasted. That could have been like the actual Survivor.
Yeah,
you know.
But see, like, you know that Survivor is very, very like sparse. What they get when they go in there, they're kind of left to their own devices an awful lot. Mm-hmm. And they had some of the worst nights I've ever seen in Survivor because like they were huddled together in what looked like a decent shelter, but there was just no shelter from the rain. That autistic guy actually coined a great phrase saying, the real Goliath is the weather. Brilliant soundbite. But yeah, they're all evacuated. I meant to look up actually after that episode finished what they did with them because I'd imagine they would have been put in isolation for the duration off the island, but I need to check up and see.
Or you just kept on a ship?
They couldn't be together. Like, they wouldn't be allowed to be.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because then stuff would emerge on camera that we hadn't seen the origins of.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it was an interesting aside. So, Steve, where are we going first? We have so much to talk about.
Yeah. Well, since we're talking about reality TV.
Uh-huh.
Right?
I've something kind of related.
Yeah.
And I've fallen down a very, very deep rabbit hole on YouTube.
Oh, dear.
You know Grand Theft Auto, right? We're all familiar with it.
Yeah.
So there's these guys who, they run their own servers. Uh-huh. And they run it as a role-playing game.
Okay.
So when you log in, you can choose to be like a civilian, criminal, or a cop.
Okay.
Right? But you have to play it straight.
Right.
Right. So if you're being the criminal and you're speeding down the road and the cop is sitting there and he sees you going past and the lights come on, you don't instantly run like you would in the game.
Okay,
You get pulled over.
Right.
And then there's the whole, can I have a license registration? I'm
step out of the car, please, sir.
All that kind of stuff, It's hilarious because they go through codes and laws. And It's very nerdy. But the some of the criminal stuff is just hilarious. Mm-hmm. You know, they just try and come up with new scenarios all the time. Saw one last night where they pretended that one of the guys, he made himself invisible, but he got into a small little car.
Yeah.
But they pretended it was a self-driving car from
Google,
they call it. And so the guy, his buddy, would get into the passenger seat.
Uh-huh.
And then the car just started going bananas and speeding. And he jumped out and told the officer, no, I wasn't even driving it. I haven't. You know, he came up with this whole scenario that he had one on test you know, from a software company and blah, blah, blah. But then the card, you know, he tells it to shut down. It's voice activated.
Yeah.
But they keep talking about it. Goes, it's a good thing no one was killed. Kill mode activated. And the car would go ape shit, which ends up running over the police officer several times, and then more, they have to box it in, and then they're like, I wonder if we can, you know, some sort of, you know, we need to get rid of this car, destroy it or something. Mm. It's self-destroyed, activated, you know. It's just brilliant the way they ran it. But there's things like that. It's just hilarious. Yeah.
The guys, but Steve, yeah. is this animated?
It's all Grand Theft Auto. It's actually run in the game.
Oh, okay. It uses the GTA engine.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Right.
GTA. It is GTA. They just, they have a million people joining it. It seems like I'd say nearly 10 to 20% of the population aren't AI.
Okay.
You know, so there's all sorts of things going on as well in the background. You know, they'll be driving in around, there's a massive explosion going on. You know, I wonder what's going on. Let's go and check it out.
Why would anybody sign up to be a civilian?
Well, civilian scenario, let me think. They have somewhere, they just do like jogging. There'd be a race, and they'd go and partake in it, and then, you know, just ridiculousness would ensue. But it's usually like two, three, I'd say up to five of them would go online as a group together. But on occasion, there might be three of them, and then they'd bump into two others that are actually police officers.
Okay.
But they'd stay in character.
Yeah.
You know, so that goes all sorts of characters. You know, they go, one guy's going as a millionaire, and he just keeps saying, you know, being a millionaire, you have to remind people that you're a millionaire all the time. And it's like, oh, what's your name? You know, sir, what's your name? You know, it gets pulled over, but it comes, DeSoto Millionaire. You know? And I'm a millionaire, you know. You know? And is this your car, sir? Yes, and I have other millionaire cars at home. My millionaire house. You know, he owns the Playboy Mansion.
Right.
You know, it's just hilarious, yeah. It's definitely worth looking up. It's GTA 5 role-playing. ROJ, I think it's called, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty fucking geeky.
It is. But the first time I saw it, I said, what the fuck is this thing?
Yeah, you know.
And then I got sucked in. It's just, it's very, very funny. It's down to the guys who are doing it. They do a lot of games and that kind of thing. But this one is special.
Right. So, you
know. It sounds really good, all right.
It's really good. Yeah, it's worth it. Anyway. Black 47, Mike.
Black 47.
I've been dying to talk to you about
this. It's so long, I've almost forgotten it. Yeah.
What's this, Mike?
This was the one initially reviewed by Mark Solo. It's the Connacht Ranger returns home to find his family destroyed, his home destroyed, his society rotting, and the filthy Brits in charge of everything they're going to pay.
Yeah. The mother died in the famine.
She did. She did. She wouldn't take the soup.
She wouldn't take the soup. No. The mother was sentenced to death by the British. Jesus.
That's it.
Yeah.
No puppies for her.
Tell me, was he in the Civil War? Was that it? In the States?
The lead character?
Yeah.
No, he was back from Afghanistan.
He was up in the passes, was he?
Yeah, the Khyber Pass.
Ah, I see. Yeah, okay. That makes more sense.
The Brits have been in Afghanistan for a very long time.
So he was trying to emigrate to America. That was it.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
It wasn't an all-time classic. Like, I had initially had hopes of, like, The Field or something like that.
Yes.
You kind of missed that.
That's what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. But that said, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, like Hugo Weaving always does a good job.
Yeah.
And the lad who played the main character.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe he was Australian.
Yeah.
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 Like he had the Connemara Blast and everything. I was like, fucking hell, where did you get him out of?
Yeah. he was no Tom Cruise in the Irish department.
No.
Here I am in Connemara, to be sure.
Yeah, to be sure. But, I mean, it's a very simple story.
Mm.
Revenge tale.
Tale of vengeance.
Yeah, I thought... what do you call it? The guy, the kind of main British officer, I thought he was wonderful as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came out with some great lines. Yeah. He reminded me of Alan Partridge, you know.
Yes.
I don't see why they couldn't have afforded a moderately priced restaurant.
Yeah.
And the ending I really enjoyed. I like the way they left it open.
Yeah. Black 48.
Yeah, Black 48. Black Harder.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it too. And like I said, it was completely not what I was expecting. I was expecting a bit of bullshitting about the field or something, but was cut short very quickly.
Yeah, they get down to business fairly sharp. Yeah.
Suddenly
yeah.
I was like, all right, so this is where we're going. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it would have been more entertaining had they had more advanced weapons available. A couple of airstrikes or whatever wouldn't have gone astray. But yeah, good solid movie.
Yeah.
I was very surprised actually with how much Irish language is in it. Normally they do the token Cade Mila Falch and then they switch to English or whatever, but it was substantially in the alternate languages, which is an unusual decision considering they're trying to make money off it.
Yes.
And nobody really likes subtitles. Did you enjoy the subtitles as much as I did? Well, your Irish is a lot better than mine, of course.
I was able to follow most of it, but I wouldn't. The subtitles wouldn't bother me anyway. But
But Mike knows the Connie slang, you know.
Connie. Yeah. No, it made me feel like I knew an awful lot of Irish because you'd be hearing stuff and kind of have a half idea. Yeah. It's like when you play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and you think you know the answer to the question and then you see it on screen.
You're like, oh, fuck.
And you know, yeah, that was it. Yeah, that was it. That was it. I knew that. Yeah, I knew that one.
I enjoyed it. I give it a solid 7.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
What did I give it? Did I give it an 8?
I think it might have been 7-ish.
7 or 8, around there anyway.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot anyway. I remember liking the hell out of it.
Oh, Stephen Reeves, of course.
I think it just lost out a bit in terms of the memorable lines.
It's always a thing for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
You need a quote, like,
quoting it, like, you know. How are you, love? Did you hear this one out of Black Boy?
Yeah.
Like, if he said, this is Connemara, and then front kicked him really hard in the chest.
Yeah.
He'd be sorted then.
That's it. I mean, how hard is it to put in a line like, would you like a sandwich, Bart?
Or is Connemara
is this bang?
I'll dance with you, Red.
I'll dance with you. Yep. So solid movie. Go see it.
Yep.
Or actually,
on DVD at this stage.
Yeah. DVD. It's not even a thing anymore.
Good question, Mark. Does the PS4 have a Blu-ray, or have they dispensed with?
It does have a Blu-ray. Yes.
Okay. So, yeah.
But I caveat that with I've never put such a disc in there.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that that's the standard they use for their games.
Yeah. Because I was just looking at my PS3 the other day, and I remember, like, when it first came out, that was the center of life in the house. Mm. You know, all the DVDs came in, the internet came in through it. It was just a god machine.
Yeah.
But I can't remember the last time I actually used a DVD to watch something.
Yeah.
It's always network now.
Use your PS for Netflix now.
Yeah.
Dead handy. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to try and pick up a PS4 Pro at Christmas as a prelude to having a 4K TV.
Or Black Friday is coming up. Might get a better price.
No, that's not going to work. I'm afraid that just doesn't work for me, Michael.
Yeah, too
scheduling difficulties.
Yeah. Fucking kids are so fucking expensive.
Just there's a lot of Santa Claus happening.
Would you just tell them he's not real and get it over?
Oh, Jesus. Mike was just joking. If you're listening to this, you should be in bed.
Oh, Mike, you and your jokes.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about how my young lad found out there was no Santa?
He googled it. Did he?
No.
Actually, knows what he did.
He was sitting in his front room, and
my phone just came on, thinking I was googling.
Watching telly, and his mum was sitting there as well. The two of them watching telly, and he was very good friends with one of the young lads across the road, similar age or whatever. And this young lad came peeling across the road, caring not a heed for traffic or anything like that. Jumped over the wall. Banged on the window. Ewan opened the window and says, Ewan, Santa's not real!
No way.
His mum was fit to fucking
flake. God.
That's terrible.
What age was he?
Oh, I don't know, 10, 11, something like that.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah.
Just the way he was telling that, the way he described that, it sounds like he just learned that, you know, his parents were evil robots or something.
Yeah.
And he had to tell you before they actually got him.
Yeah.
It was that level of importance.
They're lying to you, Ewan. They're lying to you.
It's all lies.
Where did I tell you about the God stuff?
There's two pills back in the kitchen. There's one red, one blue.
I picked up Taylor from dancing this evening. Taylor is my stepdaughter. She's 14. Mm. And her parent teacher meeting was on today. Donna was down at it. And Taylor jumps into the car and she goes, "Oh God, I'm so nervous. Is Mum back for my parent teacher meeting?" And I went, "Oh, was that what was on?" She goes, "Yeah, is she back?" And I said, "Yeah, about 10 minutes maybe before I left." But I wasn't really sure what she was doing because she came into the house, she looked really upset and just went upstairs and started crying.
You fucking bastard.
And she goes, "Oh, don't." She kind of knew I was joking. She goes, "Oh, don't say that to me. Don't say that to me." And I said, "Well, sure. I'm just telling you what happened." She saw through it when she got home, though. Donna wasn't upset at all.
Mark, tell us about a discovery of witches.
So a star is born. Stars, Lady Gaga and
you
Bradley
straight
Cooper.
To that. Okay.
Yeah, Discovery Witches was premiered a couple of weeks back. It was a terrible show then. It's probably worse now.
Oh, funny. It went down well in our house.
Actually was
funny. Oh, wait, hold on. No, it sounds like I've made a mistake. We need to talk about it if that's the case.
No, I'm just saying it went down well in our house.
Awesome. Discovery of Witches is a young adult TV show on Sky. It's about vampires, werewolves and stuff. Mm-hmm. There is a witch who isn't interested in her supernatural. Mm. Yeah, she's not interested in witchcraft. And she finds a book that has been presumed lost for many, many years that is very, very powerful, and it kind of alerts all kinds of supernatural entities that something is afoot. Mm. So that's kind of where it starts, right?
Mm. I called this within 15 minutes. I put it on and I was looking around and I was loving all the old buildings and everything. Geek for that kind of shit. Yeah. And it struck me almost immediately. This sounds like something that was written by somebody that spent a few days in Oxford and wanted to help themselves try and remember it.
Or Cambridge.
So me being the... annoying little shit that I am. I looked it up on Google, and the lady who first wrote the material, while she was at college, she did a semester abroad at Oxford.
No way.
As an undergraduate.
Serious.
Yeah, I was like, booyaka. So yeah, it's just so fucking I'm an American in England, you know. It's such a shame because visually it's very appealing.
It is.
Yeah, it's a real watch and shoot, you know. Or you could just watch an Oxford tour online without the irritation of the story.
Yeah, I'm not usually into this kind of show.
That sort of thing,
Buffy and, you know. Yeah. And, but I saw that this had potential. Mm. I sort of referred my better half onto it because she's kind of gone through the Harry Potter stage recently.
Okay.
The young lad and so on.
Yeah.
And so suddenly I see she's up onto episode 8 or 9.
Really?
When season 2 out, I was just like, "Jesus, give it a minute." So it went down very well.
But did you like it though?
I liked episode 1, yeah. I will watch more. I would give it a thriller.
Oh dear.
Yeah. I did, yeah. Even despite the corniness of it, it just has something that's watchable.
That's fair enough. It's a high quality production. The acting is good. Mm-hmm. The writing is very transparent, maybe. Like the plotting probably is my issue.
Yeah, well, it's not anything we haven't seen before.
You can quite easily predict what's coming. Mm-hmm. They are trying quite hard to do something different with the genre, and I don't think they're achieving. I think it felt like a mash of a lot, like you say, Steve, a lot of things we've seen before. And it really bored me. Like, by the time it was over, I went, "Oh, thank God, why did I watch that? I'm sorry I put it on the list, but it was on Sky. I thought it'd be easy, you know?"
But it just reminded me of Sabrina, you know? Yeah. Speaking of which, I think there's a reboot.
Sabrina, that's the new Netflix show.
There is, it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
I thought about watching that for a second.
Question, though, is she as hot?
No, she's not.
Because Sabrina was...
She had something, back in the day.
Back in the day, yeah.
When 13-year-olds were attractive.
when we were 13, Mike. Jesus Christ. You've got to follow. I keep telling you, Mike, you've got to follow up with all details.
It's context, man. Like, context. It's context.
Exactly. Okay, so no one else is going to watch any more of this, I take it.
No, not a notion. No.
No. I'll fill her all the way, Steve.
I would. But I'm busy.
Yeah. But, what you got to be busy about, boy?
No, I'm real busy these days. Anyway. Okay. Star is Born.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks. I've been waiting so long to talk about this movie.
Come on, tell us about it.
So A Star is Born is a remake of a movie that originally starred Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson. It's directed and co-starred by Bradley Cooper, and the female lead is played by Lady Gaga. And it tells the story of a declining rock star who meets a very talented bar singer, I suppose you'd categorize her as, and through their ongoing relationship, she's exposed to the public, and very quickly a star is born. They have a very complicated relationship due to Jax, the Bradley Cooper's character, is an alcoholic. So that's basically how it kicks off.
Sounds like the same plot as Once and Crazy Heart and about half a dozen other movies. Nashville, even, the series.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess the alcoholism and, you know, artistic genius are often linked, Michael. Oh.
Is it at least country music?
No. Oh, no, it wouldn't be, you know.
Is she as good as Keira Knightley?
Keira Knightley, what? Oh, from Begin Again?
Yeah.
Oh, God, compare those two films. This is better musically, and as a movie, it's better also.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So Begin Again wasn't that bad, actually, was it?
No, Begin Again was great. No, it was great. Like, yeah. I still, whenever I'm idle in the house and I have my copy of that out, I still go to the bit where they do the song. He arranges the song in his head.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I've watched that a million times. And anytime anyone comes into the house that hasn't seen it. Have you seen Begin Again?
Yeah.
Hang on. Get a drink there. Let me show you this. And everyone that does that goes away and watches it. But anyway, it's a really, really powerful, emotional movie. And that's why I put it against Begin Again. Mm-hmm. Begin Again was a brilliant, realistic treatment of the subject matter, and this has that to it as well. But it's just the depth of emotion that A Star is Born goes through, like right through. Like there's a huge final act to it, but before you get there, see, you're dealing with really dramatic people, right? Mm-hmm. You've got a guy who's like obviously no way capable of self-regulating himself. He's an alcoholic. And then he's dealing with someone that is just after stepping into the limelight and struggling with that too. So there's just so much opportunity. And like, it's hard enough. Relationships are hard anyway. Mm-hmm. When you have all that going on and they've only just met each other, it just serves for a very highly charged and very interesting story. And by the time the movie finished, I bawled at the ending. And I have a suspicion, because of how quiet it went when the movie finished, I was not alone.
Right.
And so then that was fine. I managed to hold myself together enough that I could get out of the car and drive home. And then the following day, I watched the trailer again because I had YouTube on for the kids. Mm-hmm. And I was just playing it from my phone, and I saw that up here, and I said, I'll stick that on. And I started crying again watching the trailer.
Oh, no. You're
such a fucking wuss. Jesus.
I know. And then I was driving home from work on the Monday afterwards, and I had the soundtrack on. And I had to turn it off because I was going to start welling up, but I knew I wouldn't be able to see it well enough to drive. it's a cracking movie. I know what she looks like. You would never associate Lady Gaga with the character you see on screen. She's a tremendously talented actress, and Bradley Cooper the same. And the way he directed this was so good. He's incredibly talented. And I just think it's an amazing film.
Wow. All right.
Can you remember the movie that we watched where a guy started going to open mics? That's not Begin Again, is it?
That was Begin Again.
Is it where he has the brother's lyrics?
Ooh. His son's lyrics.
Oh, his son, was it?
And his son was, there was a, his son had a secret, we'd say.
Was that Begin Again?
No.
What the hell was that?
That had that boy that died, Chekhov from Star Trek, the reboot.
I just love his frames of reference.
I know, it's awesome.
I nearly had his name. It's something Yeltsin, but that film wasn't as good now as Begin Again. There's a few of those
Rudderless.
Rudderless, that's the one. Well done, Steve.
I enjoyed that movie actually. Some good songs. Without spoiling anything about A Star Is Born, I believe that there are additional warnings before you go to watch the movie have been applied to it in New Zealand due to severe triggering.
Already? Did you feel triggered, Mark?
No, but I know what they're talking about. Yeah. It's like good art, I think, hits everybody in their weak spots. And I think everybody coming out of that movie had a different take. Like, a lot of us saw it in this house, and we all had our own views.
Yeah.
And I think everyone that I talked about this, sees parts of themselves reflected in some of the characters.
Yeah.
And that's really powerful art, So I'm not surprised they're throwing warnings at it left and right.
All right.
Sounds like maybe I think it's got a warning. It's got potential.
Don't go and see this. Okay.
So it's an 8 for me anyway. It's an eight movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me see. Black Klansman. Saw that. I'm not going to go into a review because it's quite old now.
And probably a bit shite. Spike Lee, isn't it?
Yeah, it was Spike Lee.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, but
One Trick Pony.
It wasn't the acting.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't so much the story, actors, or content. Right. It was more the writing.
Okay.
Which is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
That I sort of went, it was good, but it wasn't engaging.
Yeah.
You know? And because it's based on a true story, you're sort of going, holy shit, I want to see what happens here, because that's bananas. But it wasn't as engaged as I'd like to have been. And some of the, I don't know if it's actually, I didn't go and research it in depth to see if there's artistic license or if everything was spot on some of the characters. Because some of them you're sort of going, I've kind of seen this before. Or, dude joins mob. One dude in mob, possibly the second command, is a bit suspicious of but mobster godfather
takes
loves him,
fine, shine to him,
brings him under his I was sort of like,
is
that what happened, or is that just to make it interesting? Anyway, no, I would give it just a 5, I think.
Yeah, charity 5,
because it's not a bad movie, it's just that it wasn't. Maybe I was too hyped for it because the trailer looks really sweet. I was just a bit disappointed. So, next.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Magnum P.I. Who loved the original Magnum P.I.?
Guilty as charged.
Yeah. Did we love this? Oh, God.
I was so afraid to watch this because I did genuinely love Magnum P.I.
That's the reason
I
haven't watched Chips yet.
Yeah.
You want that bubble burst.
Yeah. And I wasn't disappointed in the show. I was disappointed in myself.
I wasn't angry. Just disappointed.
Because I realized that what made me love the show when I was a kid is kind of still there. They've made a good effort to be true to the original.
Yeah.
But I've moved on.
Yeah.
So what I found highly engaging as a 7-8-year-old isn't that engaging anymore in my advancing years, which makes me sad.
Except
A
remarkable Higgins.
Yes, very flexible Higgins.
Yeah, that's I'd watch it for Higgins these days. Yeah, but that's terrible.
Yeah. But I love the way they kept Zeus and Apollo and DJ. And,
yes.
Yeah, and I did like the way they were playing fast and loose with the car supplies and stuff like that.
God,
I mean, good effort. I'm just the wrong demographic now.
Yeah. TC was in there.
Yeah.
Yoshi Tanaka.
Yeah, they upgraded the backstories a little bit.
They did.
Now they're all Marines and Navy SEALs and whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas back in the day, I think they might have just been in the army or something.
Most of them were back from Nam, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like everyone was just back from Nam. Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't a big thing. All the A team.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's very YA, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to...
just not...
I'm having flashbacks now. Did the guy in it have a mustache?
Jay Hernandez? No. He looked like something out of Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking that was the one thing that they dropped the ball on.
Yeah, yeah. And he had waxed his chest. Just like, he can't do that to Mike. Jesus.
Yeah. I mean,
and
even the Tom fake mustache. Still alive.
Yeah. Exactly.
That was a real problem.
But no, I won't hold that against him.
Oh, come on.
What?
Tom Selleck, he was the hairiest man ever.
Oh, he was. He was.
Now to have this guy who's just too slick.
Okay.
Tom Selleck.
Yeah. It's Tom Selleck. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a pass for me.
No.
Yeah, I'm done with it.
I have other things to worry about. I will not watch this again, but I wouldn't hold it against anybody who does.
Okay. You're loud liking people.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like a recommendation to me.
Is that Orson Welles was in Magnum PI?
No.
It can't be the same guy, is it?
No.
Just George Orson Welles was an American director, born 1915, died 85.
No.
Could be. No. No, okay.
So, Michael.
Sir.
Rick Grimes.
Rick Grimes. He returned. Oh, I'm not sure how I feel about this, Mark.
Have you...
Sorry.
Hang on. What did you say?
What are we talking about?
The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There were many horrors listed here, and I was just wondering which one we're talking about. Okay.
Yeah. I have only watched one of them because I got interrupted. So I only watched the premiere of the new series, and I have to say I wasn't happy with what I saw.
Do you not just press pause? I got interrupted. Oh, well, that's that show.
Well, no.
Never see that again.
No, I was
in... What is it, 1983?
I was interrupted.
I'll have to wait till next year to show it again.
I was interrupted by The Haunting of Hill House. Which is like,
well,
10
hours. I'll let you get to that because I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it. I won't say any more. Do you know about the significance of this season of The Walking Dead?
Yes, I do. I'm just wondering how they're going to get from such a poor first episode into such a cracking last episode.
Right, you need to catch up, right? You need to stop your clowning.
Okay, yeah.
And catch up.
I need to man up and just fucking watch this.
I can't have a conversation until you're one of the adults in the room, okay?
Yep. Okay, we'll revisit this in time.
I really want to see the Sprinting Dead. Or the Driving Dead.
Yeah.
The Driving Dead would just be hilarious.
So I hear that Hill House was haunted.
It was. It was indeed. It was pretty well an internet sensation. Like it came out of nowhere and suddenly the whole fucking planet was talking about it. It's like, you have to watch Hill House. You have to watch Hill House.
Oh, yeah.
So I...
Haunting of Hill House.
Okay. Yeah, I decided to follow the herd, and I bailed into it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is basically a double timeline sort of a system. You have one family living in a house back in, I don't know, early 80s, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then you have the same family in today's timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And they are dealing with the aftermath of what happened to them as youngsters in the house.
Did they go back to the house?
They go back to the house
and
all
deal
the
with
time.
Their demons?
All the time, Steve. All the time. So the entire series is...
I'm coming back again.
The entire series is just flipping between today's timeline and back. And... they're constantly linking little things that happened back then with little things that are happening now. And part of the game is to see, oh, he's like this now because that happened then. And
Johnny can't play guitar. Yeah, they got your hand.
Yeah.
Back in 75.
That's not far off. Not really. That's not far off. So it's your classic scary, dark, spooky, creaky sort of wood and stone house.
Okay.
Innocent looking little kids shouldn't be left wandering alone in such a dark and scary place.
Okay.
And parents that are seem to be largely oblivious to what's going on around them.
Sounds like a new house I just bought.
Yeah.
And my family.
When you got the keys and went in, did you hear, get out? Get out.
I'm home.
So a little bit like Magnum, I'm not disappointed with the show, I'm disappointed in me.
Oh.
Because I didn't trust my better judgment.
Okay.
I decided at the end of the first episode, I don't like this show, and I'm not watching it again. Okay. But the internet wouldn't shut up. It kept telling me, Mike, you have to watch this show. And then some asshole on some fucking...
That wasn't the internet, that was the house telling.
Some asshole on some fucking random commentary site put up a post, and I'll never forgive him for it, even though I have no idea who it is. And he said, episode 6 is some of the finest television I've ever watched in my life. At which point I said, fuck it, I have to watch up to episode 6 to
see if this random guy I don't know, whose opinion I shouldn't respect, is right or not.
Yeah, so...
I think we're finally tapping into what's going wrong with your life, Mike.
It turns out he was 12.
Yeah. This is why I don't win at horse racing or anything. It's like, I heard some guy in the jack saying that number 7 in the 515 is coming in. You
know? He said he has it all on number 2.
Yeah, yeah. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah, I stuck with it. And then, of course, when I got to episode 6, I was like, well, sure, there's only 4 left. I might as well see what happens.
But, of course.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's my own fucking fault. Stupid fucking fault.
Look, was it worth the journey?
No.
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 You didn't pick up on that? Come on, man.
This was 10 hours I could have spent watching The Walking Dead or... There's a new American Horror Story.
Or my best new kitchen rules. Or
although I'm a bit wary about the new American Horror Story now because everybody on the internet says it's good as well.
What's the theme of the new American Horror Story?
Cult. And it's
okay. It's not very supernatural.
It's mixing in the world of the first series with the haunted house and the third series, I think, with the witches in the orphanage. So those two universes.
The Witches were good, yeah. I like the Witches season, and I like the first season a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
So I'll get to that next week, and we'll see how it compares. But The Haunting of Hill House, it's not fucking scary at all. There's probably enough material in it for 3 good episodes, but they stretched out for 10.
Right.
The entire modern storyline is boring as fuck. I really didn't give a shite about the adults' problems as a result of their trauma in childhood. Any scares that there were all occurred during the youngster's timeline. The adult timeline is basically just, oh, I'm so fucked up over what I saw, man. You weren't there, man. The ending, there's an ongoing mystery in the house, which, it's referenced in almost every episode, you know, what is this thing? And we get the big reveal at the end, and the reveal is so disappointing. It was just like, I waited all this time for that. Oh, Jesus Christ. And then I went out onto the internet to seek affirmation for my displeasure. And I was so shocked to find that so many people were so happy with the ending. I was like, what's wrong with you people? It was crap. But lots of people loved it. So if you're anybody out there except for me, just go and watch it because you'll probably love it as well. I don't know what's wrong with you. But for me, it was total filler.
Oh. Mike in shock disagreement with the world.
Do you remember Deutschland 83?
I do.
Deutschland 86 is out.
No way.
Yeah, on Amazon. They're all out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, since 19th of October.
Cool.
And it's a sequel, funnily enough.
Nice one.
Picks up where it left off.
Oh.
Yeah. Except yeah. they've now got a socialist sinking ship that they need to save.
Ah, I see. Yeah. Yeah. They're almost getting to the point where they can get a decent car, too.
Yeah, only a 4-year queue.
Yeah.
So who saw Halloween?
I did.
Right, Mike. Did you like the original?
No. One of my least favorite classic horror movies.
I liked the original. Okay, so you're an asshole now straight away.
Yeah. Well, my problem with the original is the monster. Michael Myers...
There was a monster?
Well, Michael Myers, the killer.
Okay.
He's got no personality. Zero. And it's a deliberate decision by the makers. They're basically, we're not going to make him talk. We're not going to make him engage with the rest of the humanity. We're not going to give him any real backstory. You know, he's basically just this black hole of killing machine.
He has a backstory. He was in Halloween.
So you could say his personality is unstoppable, a lot like the Terminator.
Yeah, the Terminator had more fucking personality than Michael Myers. Remember when that little red eye blinked going into the lava?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, but that was many
times. I shed
anyway,
a tear.
Tell us about this, because I need to get a few things off my chest about Jamie Lee Curtis.
Anyway, I was just going to say, Jamie Lee was in it. Yeah
Jamie Greer. Lee is back for more.
Oh, yeah.
She's looking a little bit more roast chicken than chick at this stage. But
funnily, 40 years on. know.
Right, give her a pass on that, Mike, and just tell us about the goddamn film.
Okay, so it's 40 years on. They've kind of dropped some of the movies in the middle in terms of continuity. They just didn't happen. So Michael Myers is in a mental institution, hasn't spoken for 40 years, and... He is, well, I won't do any spoilers, but basically there comes a point where he's no longer in the mental institution and he comes back to the town on the Halloween night.
With his backstory all fleshed out?
Yes, indeed. all blackly fleshed out not.
I'm cured.
And what's her name? Roast chicken lady?
Jamie Lee.
Jamie Lee Curtis is still in town with her daughter and granddaughter. I wonder who the targets could be for the night of obscene violence that's about to be released on the town. There's a cop.
Is it
there.
Scary?
No, not at all.
I've heard it's brilliant, Mike.
There's a cop there who was the same cop from the first movie, and now he's like 2 weeks from retirement.
Oh, really?
Of course he is. He's getting too old for this shit.
Danny Glover's son.
Yeah. There's a lot of PTSD. They haven't gotten over the whole 40 years ago thing. There Seriously. Is one funny moment where somebody from the new generation is talking about the Michael Myers thing, and he says, like, in fairness, it wasn't that bad. He only killed, like, what, 5 people?
Yeah, I like it.
A nice disconnect between generations.
Oh, it's Will Patton as the officer.
Yeah.
Oh, God. He's got one of those most slappable faces. Yeah. Sorry, Will. But you do. When it's the way he leans back and talks at you, like looking down his nose at you all the time, you know?
It's funny. That's exactly what Michael Myers said. You've got the most slappable face.
So it's not scary. No. What about the characterization? Is that any good?
No, it really, really seems to me just like a money spinning abuse of the fan base, to be honest.
Well, they certainly managed to do that.
Yeah,
there was one scene where I thought it might get interesting. And I'll do a little spoiler alert here. If you don't want to know, skip forward 30 seconds.
We'll have forgotten by next Halloween.
Yeah. There's one scene where he goes into a bedroom having butchered some people, and you can hear crying in a cot. And Michael Myers notices it with his big knife in his hand. And when I heard that, I thought, oh, they're not going there, are they? Are they going there?
Really?
And then he walked by, and I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. You know, you're teasing me.
Jesus, my.
You know, that could have been a new departure in terms of horror, but they fucking fluffed it. you know. So that was their one chance to rescue this movie, and they dropped the ball. So what can you do? Mm. There is an after the credit scene.
Really? Is Michael Myers in Avengers?
Yes, he is. That's a good guess, Mark. Yeah, yeah.
Revengers.
Yeah. So remember all the people disappeared in Avengers? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What, they actually rematerialized on Halloween evening in this town and got butchered by Michael Myers.
You know, they're only like 7-year-olds dressed as the Avengers.
So, the interesting factoid for you about Halloween is that it was the second best opening ever for the month of October.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what was the first?
I was going to say, was it Bohemian Rhapsody?
It was Venom.
No way.
Ah, yes. I saw Venom too.
So did I.
Wow. We all saw Venom.
Yeah. I knew I'd seen something.
I'd completely forgotten I'd seen Venom.
Yeah.
It was that good.
You know what? It was a completely blindsided me, that movie. Are we talking about Venom now?
Yeah, I've given you a segue.
Okay, all right, okay. When Eddie Brock acquires the powers of a symbiote, he will have to release his alter ego, Venom, to save his life. That's what IMDb tells us the plot is. Yeah, Eddie Brock. Poor bastard. So, yeah, Venom's... I don't know.
It's from the Spider-Man universe, isn't it?
Tell me. I don't know what the origins are.
So way back in the 80s, this all-powerful being called the Beyonder decided he wanted to see all the superheroes and supervillains fight each other. So he created a world and sucked them into it, and that gave rise to a series of comics called the Secret Wars. While Spider-Man was on this Secret War, he discovered this black, gooey, tar-like symbiote that bonded to him, made him a lot stronger and faster, and seemed like it was his best friend. It wasn't till many episodes of Secret Wars and Spider-Man later that we realized the symbiote was starting to affect Spidey's mind, making him darker, and he had to somehow get free of it. At the same time, Peter Parker, his alter ego, wound up more or less getting a guy called Eddie Brock sacked from the Daily Bugle. Now, Eddie Brock was a bad guy anyway. Mm-hmm. And he was sacked for, you know, he should have been sacked, but it was Peter that exposed him, basically. Mm-hmm. So when Spider-Man got free of the symbiote hated Spider-Man, and Eddie Brock hated Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. So the two of them decided to put their heads together. But the interesting thing in the comic at the time was the symbiote was able to make Peter Parker 10 times stronger. Uh-huh. So when Brock learned this, he immediately went on the juice and started getting as strong as he could, because for every kilo he could lift,
right.
That became 10 kilos Venom could lift, which I thought was not a nice touch. Yeah. But anyway, that's the backstory of Venom in the comics. He's gone on a huge run. He has been hosted by various different people through the years. He's had offspring. There's multiple symbiotes now in the symbiotes in the Marvel Universe. So they went straight for this one. So tell me, does anything that I've said ring true about Eddie Brock? Yeah. Was he fired from somewhere? Is he disgruntled?
He was fired, all right, but they made him out to be a nice guy rather than a dickhead.
Yeah.
Well, he was a dickhead nice guy, but he wasn't malicious.
Yeah, yeah. I was behind him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They did a lot of trying to get us on side.
Played by Tom Hardy, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Woody Harrelson was also in this.
Where?
Yeah. Did you not see him?
No.
Oh, right. He played, what's his name again? Sorry, I had it here a second ago. Cletus. You don't remember?
No, I'm still...
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
But the biggest standout thing about this movie is I was surprised.
What surprised you, Steve?
I was very surprised. Venom surprised me.
Really?
I was not expecting that.
Oh.
Because I thought it was going to be another... I knew nothing about it. I went in completely blind.
All right. I used to have a little Venom action figure.
I didn't even know this was a superhero-y type thing.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought it was, Venom was the name of it.
It was like a divorce movie or something.
I like it, Mike. I like it. Venom is great. I don't know what you're surprised by, though, Steve. Were you surprised by his viciousness?
No, I was surprised by how good it looked. I was surprised by the CGI stuff for Venom. I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. What the hell is it? I don't know what I'm looking at, but it looks cool.
Yeah. Really? I was a bit disappointed. Some of the scenes looked a bit ropey, I thought.
No, it absolutely looks cartoony, but at the same time, you're looking at it going, it's not a cartoon.
Yeah.
but it's very shiny, latexy, nearly looking type. I don't know how they did it, but it looked real, but it didn't. You know?
Yeah, I mean, there was a few scenes there when I was thinking back to like Kong on top of the Empire State Building in black and white.
yeah, I know what you mean. Claymation thing going on there. But I just thought it looked fantastic. Fantastic. I wasn't expecting that movie when I started watching it.
Right.
And had I known, I'd probably gone, it's grand. But going in blind, I thought, Jesus, that was really entertaining.
Right.
Yeah, okay. And I think the main reason is because Tom Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Tom Hardy played Blinder, in fairness.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the kind of movie that I just normally dislike intensely, but he's got a rare talent to make even shit roles good, you know?
Yeah.
So he's a better Venom than he is Bane, then.
Gotham's ashes.
I still haven't seen that, you know.
What?
No, you still haven't seen it?
I bawled at the end of that.
Ah,
such a good film.
Yeah, it's I don't think the story was particularly good.
Well, no, it's kind of your usual fare, but
yeah.
But I thought it was very well done.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think now of the minor characters.
Well, does the Venom character have legs after this movie? Do you think?
Oh yeah, for sure. They can make 2-3 more of these.
Yeah.
Are we likely to see him collide with Spider-Man?
I wouldn't rule it out.
I can't see a reason not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although they're in the wrong city, aren't they? Isn't Spider-Man New York? And he's in San Francisco?
Yeah, he's in the wrong fucking coast. Holy shit.
Yeah.
So one of the things that made Venom so difficult for Spider-Man to fight was that he didn't trigger his spider sense.
Oh.
Ah.
So, you know, Brock always got a few sneak attacks in.
Yeah.
And then Spidey realized, of course, how much he learns to rely on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's why he's usually there making jokes and knows when to move his head.
Yeah.
Because he gets the tingle, but when he's fighting Venom, it's not like that.
Right.
So, you ready to mark it, Mike, or?
Yeah,
you want to say about it?
I don't have an awful lot to say about it. Superhero fare with a little plus from Tom Hardy. I'd give it a 6.
Oh, I'm giving this like a solid 7. Like I'd nearly give it an 8.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know it surprised me too. I was just like afterwards. I just remember thinking, "Geez, that was good." Yeah, that was really good. I was really surprised. Yeah, but I think probably had I known more about it, I probably would have expected more. Or,
right.
You know, yeah. Or not expected. Whatever. I wouldn't have marked it as high. You know what I mean? Yeah. So anyway, yeah.
So what do you think, guys? Are we going to put a streak together of 2 weeks in a row?
I think we might.
Jeepers. We might do that.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah. It's been a while. Yeah. We've talked about everything, right?
Wasn't it? Hunter Keller. Was it?
Oh, no, you did. What's that?
That was the...
Oh, yeah.
Leonidas underwater.
Yeah, Leonidas underwater. I won't keep you too long on it. Basically, Leonidas has a fight ship.
Okay.
is about all you need to know. It has been completely panned by the critics and loved by the audiences. I think on Metacritic or whatever, it was like 30% from critics and 95% from audience on scores. Jared Butler is a submarine commander. And he is tasked to go and find out what happened to two other submarines.
Do we have a backing track all of a sudden?
Not this end.
No.
Okay, keep going. Sorry, Mike.
Yeah, he's tasked to go out to under the ice up in the north of Russia to find out what happened to two other submarines that mysteriously disappeared with a big boom a couple of days ago. And when he gets there, he finds other people shooting at him.
No.
And they run a double storyline here. So there's a SEAL team who are on land trying to figure out what's going on, and there's Jared Butler on the boat also trying to find out what's going on. So it flips between the two storylines throughout the movie. And then I suppose the third part of it is the politicians back in Washington also trying to figure out what the fuck is going on.
What does Gary Oldman do?
Gary Oldman is he's one of the admirals.
Oh, okay.
Back in Washington.
He's about that age now, is he?
Yeah, yeah, he's getting there. Yeah, looks quite distinguished.
You know, like claim to be a 4-star general or 5-star general. Is there such a thing?
So, yeah, they're...
Knight Dan in general is...
So the whole tension is that the Americans don't know what the Russians are up to. They think that the Russians have sunk one of their subs. But as the movie goes on, it becomes less and less clear whether the Russians are behind it or not, or if there's some other nefarious plot going on. So between Gerard and the SEALs, they figure shit out and try and sort it. So unfortunately, there's terrible, terrible writing in this.
It's no Hunt for Red October then.
No, and it's a shame because it could have been.
Yeah.
Like the fighty ship face punch scenes are really entertaining.
Brilliant.
But the relationships between the characters is all so stilted. And then they try and do these. Come on, Gerard, be inspirational scenes. Mm. And it just comes across as really, really cringeworthy. Mm. You know,
about procedure? No, do what you think is right. But we can't contact them.
You know, as the submarine commander, instead of just being a regular submarine commander, he actually started his career as an ordinary sailor and then became an officer. So, like, he's a man of the people. He's been there.
Gotcha.
So... that's fair enough, but instead of using this to drive the plot forward, you know, there's something important that hinges on him being from that background later on. It basically comes to a point where they've got a big challenge and he shouts over the microphone to the submarine that, he announces to everybody on the submarine, "I know your jobs better than you do."
Oh god.
It's like, oh no, make it stop.
So is he like the anti-Trump but going to make submarines great again? It sounds poor, dude.
Yeah, it was, and that's a shame because the rest of it was actually really fucking entertaining.
Really?
Yeah, like the Navy SEAL bits were great. And then the fight ship great bits were great. It was like whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And then they start talking and they ruin it, you know.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, mixed feelings on this one. I'd probably give it a 6.
A 6.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, that's pretty poor. All right, yeah.
It's above average, I think you'll find, Steve.
Oh, really? No, it's pretty poor for a movie with Gerard Butler and Gary Oldman. Oh!
Yeah.
It's pretty poor for a movie with Gary Oldman and... what's his name?
Gerard Butler. Yeah. Poor Gerard, he really, really didn't look like he had any interest in this movie. You know, you could almost see him rolling his eyes and he's bringing some of the lines out.
Don't make me say it. Show me the money, man.
And you could hear the director in the background roaring, "You've got rent to pay, motherfucker!" And 3 ex-wives!
Mark, I have a question for you. Are you excited about Aquaman?
No, not really.
It looks absolutely brutal to me.
So I was excited about it briefly when we met his character in Justice League, because I thought they did a great job of making him interesting, this kind of reluctant hero. Yeah. But when I saw that it's basically an alien spaceship fight undersea,
yeah,
I lost a lot of interest.
Yeah.
And like a lot of it's going to come down to who's friends with the bigger fishes. So basically they're trying to out-cheek each other with sharks, out-shark each other.
I wonder will they fly by like the Jetsons, you know, they leave like a trail of bubbles, you know, as he surfs on the imaginary waves.
So I'm certainly not going to pull out any stops to see that, to be honest.
There's a lot of advertising, a lot of trailers knocking around and
Yeah, well, this is their big franchise. Like, they're trying to push the Justice League into a position that it'll make Avengers money. I don't see it, though.
No, I don't see it either.
I think they don't know what their strengths are. Is Overlord. It's just out this week. It's...
Oh, yeah.
The American soldiers dropped into Normandy.
This is the sequel to The Thing.
It's part of the Cloverfield that's universe. It. Yeah, it's like Cloverfield 4.
Yes, that's right.
But there's no reference to Cloverfield in it.
Yeah. Oh, Mark, this looks sweet. Yeah. I think we talked about
it. Is it hitting the box office or what's happening?
Yeah, it's in the cinema just out this week.
It's not a spoiler talking about it, is it? Because we haven't seen it. Like, we don't actually know.
We haven't seen it.
It's a zombie thing.
Yeah. They get dropped in behind enemy lines on the Normandy landings, World War II, and they're tasked to secure an objective. But when they get there, the objective isn't quite what they expected.
Yeah.
It's actually a Nazi super soldier project.
Yeah, they have a load of dudes strung up and some of them in cages.
And
one of them gets infected and the door is locked and, oh, God.
So
it's something like that.
It looks like... Yeah. What's the classic movie with the underground?
Yeah, the underworld.
Shut up!
What's the one with the Natasha Henderson? Or what's her name? She was in it.
Species.
No, not Species.
No. There's about four of them, isn't there?
Yeah, Resident Evil.
Resident Evil. That's the one. Yeah, good call.
So it looks like a new take on that with Nazis.
Brilliant! What's can't not wait. To love?
Yeah. Actually, speaking of Nazis, we have the one where Hitler's living behind the other side of the moon with dinosaurs and stuff. That's, you know, Iron Cross or
whatever.
Iron Sky.
Yeah,
Iron Sky 2.
Yeah.
That looks ridiculous. Oh, dear.
Great movie. Great movie.
Dude, yeah. Have you seen the trailer?
No.
Oh, yeah, you need to look it up now. It is
right. I look it up and get back to you.
It's the craziest. It looks ridiculous, actually. Right, that is.
Yeah. I think so, sir.
Yeah, we'll leave it there.
Yep.
Hopefully, we'll be back sooner rather than later. Hopefully, 2 weeks in a row.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
Imagine that.
I know. Not bad after what? 400 episodes or
something like that. It's a lot of fucking episodes. Jesus.
Getting too old for this shit.
Yeah.
2 weeks to retirement.
I know, yeah. All right, we'll leave it there. Take it easy. All right, look.
Record.